Hello and welcome to Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast with Ender's Logic, Flopsy, and your host, Robert Digital. Now turn your game volume down, your earbuds up, and fucking enjoy.
So, I'm back, bitches. Vegas was sort of awesome. It was good. I'm still hungover, I think, a week later. Definitely got sick.
Did you bet over there?
A little bit.
Make any money?
I mean, by a little bit, I mean like $20-$25 a day.
Okay, did you win?
I think I went like 2 for $5 or something like that.
Well, what are you playing out there?
We go out for March Madness, so.
Oh, so you're betting on games.
So what are we talking about?
We're talking about Ori and the Blind Forest. First of all, it's gorgeous. Yeah, right? It's absolutely gorgeous.
You're playing a Disney cartoon, basically.
Like that's yeah, what it looks your character kind of looks like Lilo and Stitch.
Yeah.
So it's a platformer. There's nothing new here, really, as far as mechanics and how the game plays. The level is a lot like level layout reminds me a lot of. The swapper, where it's just kind of like a segmented tree. You can go, the whole map's kind of there.
It's all connected.
Yeah, it's all connected, and you can move around. And the reason they did this, I was thinking about, is because the background is static. You're thinking the whole time how beautiful this whole thing was, mm-hmm. but there's only one background. So somebody made this gorgeous background that's just. And it's huge. It's got to be gigantic. Mm-hmm. But there's just one background. And I'm not saying this taking away. I'm giving them credit that they made this basically tapestry that you're playing on. I tweeted out that playing this game is kind of like you're controlling the flow of a painting, a beautiful painting. There's a painting, but it's only that until you start playing. And then you control how fast or how slow it goes along. It's a great game.
Yeah.
I'm not complaining.
What'd you think of the mechanics and all?
They're good. When I say there's nothing new, doesn't mean that it's not good because it was, you know, they had three skill trees. They all seemed viable. Mm-hmm. I was a little torn at the beginning. I was going down all of them, but, you know, you got to kind of pick one. It's a fun game.
I was impressed with the level design because unlike the swapper, you have ways to circumvent barriers and you have to be very careful on how you design the levels. So like an area that, cause you can start wall climbing. So
right.
Now you got to build in, you got to prevent them from wall climbing in any areas.
They did
a
really good job of walking you along slowly, but not letting anything let you jump ahead too far.
Yeah.
And you would think that it's... I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, how do they know? Well, obviously, they know. There's a lot of planning. There's a flow charts and all this stuff.
Yeah.
But they did an extremely good job of making you not feel underpowered. Like you get to a wall and you're like, okay, I obviously need something for this.
Yeah.
So then you go the other direction. And you don't goof around there for, you know, an hour trying to do this, you're like, oh, I obviously need something that I know I'm going to get.
So what I thought was interesting, if we didn't mention, this is a 2D platformer.
Yeah.
But it's not linear. You go forward, you go backwards, you go up and down, you pass back over areas. Once you get abilities, you pass back over. Now you got double jump, you can do this, or you can wall climb, now you can do this. So you go back and forth.
It's a lot like Zelda in that way, where you can see what you need. You need that. You know you need something to get that thing that you need.
Exactly.
So you go back the other way.
What I found odd was how small the character was, and I don't know if this is a shift in design ethics, aesthetics, or if this is just a singular thing that occurs on this. But your character is tiny on the screen, mm-hmm. like really, really, really small. And maybe this is with the.
Think about it though. Super Mario-esque, right?
No, it's got to be way smaller than Super Mario. Because I was thinking, now that we have these giant screens and everything's big and everything's high definition, we don't need a giant character anymore on the screen. You know, we can get a guy
because the detail is very small.
Exactly. Yeah. We can see that guy in there and see everything that he does. I just thought that was kind of interesting and different than I was used to.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked the game. Like, I thought the progression of the character worked really well, both with the talent trees and with the unlocking abilities. It kind of pulls your heartstrings a little bit. It's got some emotional impact right there at the beginning.
You're talking Pixar level production value here.
Yeah.
Pixar, Disney, and I'm a sucker for production value.
Yeah.
I hate to give it credit, but you know, Microsoft and the guys over at Xbox, whoever did this, I mean, credit. It's a piece of art, like not just video game is art, blah blah blah. Just visually, it's a piece of art. If you were to take a still screen and somebody put it on their wall, you wouldn't think it's off.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah, it's you have great screenshots,
and that's why I think that maybe the character was so small because they wanted to accentuate all the work that went into it.
That might be it.
If anything is new, there is a lot of using the enemies for you to progress.
Oh, and that was the other thing. Did you get to the water? Did you beat the heart of the water?
No.
Oh my gosh.
I'm out there now.
I must have spent an hour on this thing.
Wow.
Because one of the mechanics in this game is that you can basically save anywhere. You have this bar that fills up, and you can activate it, and it'll just save your progress.
But it does take your bar, deplete your save bar, if you will.
Exactly. And there's a few rare moments that will automatically save, but it's really on you to save your progress.
Right.
Which can be a downer, because if you don't think about it, you can lose a lot.
Yeah, why were you yelling? I'm imagining it's because you were... I was in the other room. I could hear, oh, God! Oh, God damn it! He sounds like that Tourette's dad that was all over YouTube for a
pissed.
While.
So... You get to this part.
Wait, what was pissing you off?
This
water boss. Okay.
So you beat the water boss, and then the water starts flowing again, and then you've got to climb up this tree that's filling up with water.
Mm-hmm.
But since you're in this action sequence, you can never activate the save. You have to do this whole sequence.
Oh, right. Okay.
And there was this one part that I couldn't figure out what to do, and it was later on in the tree.
Ooh, rough.
So you have to get all the way through the tree, and then you get to this part, and I'm still trying to figure out how to get by this part, because it's not telling you, it's not giving you any clues on how to beat it. So I was, you know, and it's still a struggle to get up there, and I was doing this again and again and again and again and again for like an hour before I finally figured out how to progress it.
Cliffy B just tweeted this out that, like, wow, it's been a while since I played something that required so much like exact timing and
yeah.
I think it was that part right there.
But they do implement a really sweet mechanic where you press and hold a button, and if an enemy is close by, basically time slows down to almost stopping, and you get this like arrow that comes through the character, and then when you release the button, you like basically jump through it, and you can use it to spring yourself up. But you can use projectiles. You can do enemies. You can do all
like
sorts
a double
of things.
Jump?
Sort of. So like you can do it multiple times. So like if things are like shooting
transistor?
Across,
maybe?
If things are shooting across the screen, you can activate it, jump up, and then activate it again and jump up again, and that's what you can use to bounce up higher and higher and higher.
Huh.
So it's a really interesting mechanic. I really like it. I have never seen it before in a game.
When I said that there's nothing new, I gotta go back and say that I'm not very deep, maybe 2 hours. So Chad's been seeing stuff that I haven't seen yet.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely going to be playing this. But then I say that
20
about,
bucks. I think it's 20 bucks
totally
right now.
Totally worth it.
Totally worth it. If you're into platformers, it ran on my rig, no problems. There was one section that had like 5 seconds of slowdown, but after like 4 hours of play, that's like nothing. And so, like, I highly recommend it if you're into platformers.
Yeah, and even if you're not, like I said last week that I wasn't going to buy this because I'm not into platformers. None of us are. And because Clown Lotion bought it for me, I got to experience something that I wouldn't have otherwise because of prejudice.
Yeah. Really.
And so there it is.
Yeah.
You got any questions, Bob? Now that we spoke for
30 minutes. Yeah, seriously.
You tried to cut in a couple times, too.
Did I?
Oh, by the way, that was one thing that I did want to call you out on. I thought you did an excellent job with the interview and all. But you did cut him off maybe once or twice.
Mm.
And that's
I cut the whole interview off a little too early. I was like, he's like, hey, I was like, see ya.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that was kind of weird.
Well, maybe we'll get him back on if he wants to get back on with the three of us and we can shoot the shit.
Hmm. He doesn't like you. That's why he came on that week.
No, that makes sense.
Bobby.
So what's going on with you, Bobby?
Well, I have been playing, or I played Spec Ops The Line. A lot of talk about that in our Steam group. Emilio played it a couple weeks ago. And after hearing that it only took me about 4 or 5 hours. But after hearing it was so short, I was like, all right, I'll play that, get that out of the way. And yeah, pretty good game. It felt, when I was playing it, I was like, this seems really familiar. Like, just the way the game handles and the mechanics and stuff. And I realized this game is exactly like, or feels exactly like Scourge Outbreak. Probably haven't played that. It's you can buy it for like less than $1 on G2A. It's like this co-op game where you can get up to 4 people and you plow through missions. And it's the same cover-based combat that Spec Ops The Line has. But it felt incredibly similar to that game for some reason. Oh, probably because it had the same engine, the Unreal 3 engine. But yeah, it was a good game. And in a way, I feel like it was parodying or contrasting like all these modern military shooters where you're like the hero. And in this game, it starts out like that. And then you start taking all these dark turns and you turn into this really bad guy. And I feel like it's kind of, in a way, making fun of, I don't know if it's trying to make a statement on, like, U.S. military or something. It was made by the German development team. But I feel like it's definitely... Yeah, I don't think they have any... I know. I don't know if they've got some ulterior motives or something like that. But maybe they could. But because you're...
Could be.
You're
this guy, meddling and shit. We should admit.
Yeah, and that's what this game is about. You're this U.S. Military guy who goes over into Dubai, which is now in ruins, and you try to fix everything, and you end up fucking everything up. And you could draw comparisons to the U.S. military with that, I suppose, but...
Every single thing we do ever.
Yeah, but I definitely feel like they're just kind of critiquing, like, Call of Duty games with this, too. Like, oh, you expected to be the hero? Nope, you're the worst guy in the world.
Yes.
The voice acting, I will say, I was very impressed with this game, and... Like, at first I was like, you know, that's actually pretty good. I liked it, and I looked up the credits, and Nolan North does the main guy. North, yeah, he's in everything, been doing voice acting for a lot of video games.
Can't complain about him, though. He's got a great voice.
Yeah, he's very talented. But also, the radio man is Jake Busey, Gary Busey's son.
Oh, really?
Kind of sounds like him, too. Yeah, I thought that was interesting.
Hmm. But, so what did you think of the story? Did you think it was as... Because I haven't played the game. All I hear is the story is amazing. You got to play it for the story. You know, it's like totally different than a standard video game. Is that true?
It's not exactly the story per se. It's more about the emotions that they make you feel. Well, I guess if you want to say that's the story.
I don't know. It kind of goes into spoiler territory. But as the game progresses, it starts off very normal and then like... Things happen. I don't think you have a choice. It's not like a moral choice system. Things happen, and your character kind of shows this darker side, and that eventually steamrolls into this huge catastrophe. But I don't know. Like, I wasn't like completely blown away by the story, but at the same time, it definitely takes a different turn, or it definitely does things differently than a lot of other games do.
They took an approach that it has always been there, but not a lot of developers take advantage of.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's always you're the hero. Why not make you the villain? And you know that you're the hero. Or the villain.
Yeah.
You know?
See, I don't
it's
know
always
if
been
they,
sitting there.
I think they give you that option in a lot of games, but they always present it as a moral choice system. You know, do you want Bioshock Infinite, for example? Do you want to kill this guy or let him live after you've defeated him in a boss fight? Bioshock Infinite, I was actually thinking of that game while I was playing this, because they do the same thing in a way. They give you these things and it turns out to be something else. In Infinite, they do. They give you these moral choices and you make a decision and it doesn't even matter in the end. Spoiler alert, that game's 2 years old. Whereas the original Bioshock, where you do have to make these decisions. But in this game, I don't...
But see, ultimately, in those games, you're doing something good at the end. You're killing the bad guy.
No, you can end up, you can get like the bad guy ending in games. Like in Jedi Knight Dark Forces, you can be a dark Jedi or a light Jedi, depending on the decisions that you make. But they always...
But you're still dethroning the bad guy in charge, right? Aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, but then you become the bad guy.
Right.
Yeah. But I mean, a lot of games do that where you could be the hero or you could be the villain at the end of the game, but they split it one way or the other. This game, I don't think there's any option of being the hero.
I'm glad you're talking like, about it, because a lot more people are going to be playing this, because it was free this week.
Was it?
If you buy any 2K game, which are all the 2K games.
Yeah, is that on Humble Bundle that it's on sale, or Bundle Stars? I think it's Humble Bundle.
Yeah, I think it's Humble Bundle.
Yeah.
This is a game that I should buy, because I should support this kind of stuff, because this is exactly the kind of game that I say more games should be like. Like,
if you're pushing
give me
the
emotions,
boundary.
Give me... Don't... Put it. Go ahead and put it in a first person or a third person shell, but give me the emotion, give me the character development, give me that stuff.
Well, see, I don't know if it has great characters, though. And that's a problem that I had with this game and with a lot of games, is the characters aren't really memorable in any which way, other than the main character.
I thought the radio guy was kind of cool. He was interesting. He also had a duality as well. He was trying to do good things and ended up doing bad things.
Yeah. So. And you have two sidekicks, but they're... fairly interchangeable.
Yeah.
But
well, actually, I laughed at some of the one-liners from that guy. Like, I was like, I wish I was that guy. He's the one making the dick and pussy jokes. So, I was like...
You are that guy.
Oh, okay.
So.
Sweet.
Well, this was developed by Jaeger Entertainment, and I noticed they... I think this is the only game they've done, but they're also the ones working on Dead Island 2. The original Dead Island was done by Techland, and those guys did Dying Light. And then...
Wow.
Dying Light, or Techland's not doing Dead Island 2. Jaeger Entertainment, who did Spec Ops: The Line, is doing Dead Island 2. So I really wonder, it makes me curious in what direction they're going to take that game.
Absolutely.
I don't think it'll be anything like this, but that's kind of cool knowing this developer. They think differently.
For sure, possibly. Which is what we need.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure. If you're pushing the boundaries in any direction, I'm all for it. Even if it's a failure, at least you did something new. It's like, well, the game isn't fun, but there's this new thing, and then we would talk about that new thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one last thing on Nolan North and stuff. This really tested his range. He starts off, he's like, attack the flank on the left. But by the end, when it's about, kill that motherfucker on the left, you know? He's like, not only the game, but his personality and everything just... It's a good game.
I'm going to have to play.
Yeah. Sure. And it'll only take you 4 or 5 hours to beat. It's a very short game, and I think that's to its credit, too. If it were longer, if this were dragged out, it would have less of an effect. There are quite a few cutscenes, and the whole, like, gameplay cutscene thing can kind of work against you in some ways, but when it's that short, and when it's somewhat fluid, then I think it presents a story better overall.
Hey, Bob, Isolation's on sale for like $15. Do you like recommend that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I would recommend that.
Oh, well, we're speaking on this subject. I almost bought Dawn of War...
Two? Yeah, probably.
They've got like the
Grand, 2K pack.
Yeah, they've got like the Grandmaster bundle for like less than $20 that has basically everything, all the expansions.
I mean, do you like RTS?
I mean, I don't think RTS likes me. But.
As far as RTS goes, okay, it's probably got the strong of all RTS that I know of. I was going to say it has the strongest single player campaign, but I was going to say that Company of Heroes probably has that. So, Company of Heroes, but then it's a very strong single player.
Dawn of War 2 or 1?
Dawn of War 2.
So, Dawn of War 1 you played in, right. and like way back in the day.
Yeah, way back.
And then you played the second one. Is the second one better than the first one, or did they go in a different
personally,
direction?
I like the first one, where you had like hundreds of units. On this one, you have like four guys.
Oh, okay.
But it's much more like each guy has a grenade, each guy has a special ability. So it's much more. So yeah, and you might have three squads, so you'll have 12 guys. But it doesn't get crazy. You'll never have more than 20 guys.
Okay.
As opposed to the other one, where you have hundreds of dudes.
Was the first one base building, and then this one not? The second one not?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Will it even be around when they get this podcast, or is that just this week?
Yeah, that sale's probably going to be over. By
yeah, it'll be over on Monday, 10 a.m. They're having the Sega weekend, so...
So I played a little bit of Spelunky this week with my girl because I'm like digging the bottom of the co-op barrel.
Cheers,
although, might as well do both of them while you're at it.
Sorry. Yeah.
Terrible sound, funnier jokes. Or at least for us. So, yeah.
And by the way, fuck you guys, yes, last week on all your.
No, if you're missing, all your you're not here to defend yourself. And that wasn't a bad one.
No. You guys did.
Did that happen?
What?
Did I tell it truthfully?
Which one was it? I forget.
The push-up story.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, that definitely did happen.
Okay, cool.
That was out in front of Hooters, by the way, that we were doing the push-ups. Yeah. Man, that was embarrassing.
So, my girl just always wants to play Binding of Isaac. And I'm cool with that. It's like, yeah, cool. And... you know, sometimes we win, sometimes we lose, but whatever. So I was like, oh, yeah, Spelunky, one of my favorite games. I haven't played this with her. So we were playing, and we couldn't even get out of the first world.
That's a hard game.
Oh, it's really hard.
And
I couldn't get out of the first world.
It's almost harder co-op, right? Because you can damage
each
other.
It is harder co-op, yeah. You can damage each other, and anything you do, like, it's all a chain reaction game. This does this, and then out of nowhere, this happens. So it's all very, like, you got to take your time. But if you take too much time, the ghost comes and kills you. I totally forgot about the ghost. So I know that there's no chance of beating this game with her. But it's fun just to try to get as far as possible. I know that in a million years, we're talking like lotto levels of chances of beating this game. We haven't even been to the jungle, I think is the second one. Nope. Can't even get out of 1-4. We got to 1-4 once. It's just not going to happen. But
Bobby's just disgusted right now.
But we're having fun, you know?
Yeah.
And so, are there any games that you guys can think of, like, you could play, knowing that there's no goal set in mind, but you could just play it and have fun? I guess TF2, right? There's no real goal.
Yeah.
If you have a good round, I don't really care if my team loses. That's an asshole thing to say, but it's true. If I go 30-2 and we lose, I'm stoked.
Yeah.
Well, TF2 is a very in-the-moment game, so you're not always concerned with the end result, win or loss. It is nice to win, but really it's all about that adrenaline rush.
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't thought about that in that way. Like, I always play games...
to try to beat them?
To try to win. Yeah. To try to get to the next... I mean, that's
what... Ooh, here's a good question. What's the last game you beat?
Beat?
Wow.
I don't play games you beat anymore.
Yeah, like, that's true.
When's the last game I played with a single-player mode? I mean, I played Ori in the Blind Forest.
I mean, yeah. But you're not going to beat that game, I don't think.
I might. I've been having a lot of fun with it.
It is good.
Bobby played Spec Ops Live, beat it.
Yeah, 5 hours. You can beat that in a Saturday.
You could really plug away at that one. It goes by quick, too, I've noticed. Because I've spent 9 hours on Doom 3, and I feel like I've been on that game for an eternity. Right?
That's a high-stress game. Like, you're feeling every minute on that game.
Oh, yeah. It's,
does it ever get to the point, Bob, where you're like, oh, these things don't scare me anymore?
Yeah, kind of. I'm telling you, though, like a month or two ago when I talked more about this game, I brought up how like the flashlight mod is just automatically put in the new version of the game, the BFG edition, and that takes away so much of the scariness of it. Or maybe I'm just completely desensitized now. I have no idea.
Well, I played a game this week. I I did my organized by user reviews and took a look. And there was a new game that came out. It's still in early access. It actually just came out in early access. Bobby, I'm sure you would have no interest, but...
Have you played more than just today?
No, I've been playing a couple days now.
Cool.
It's called Mini Metro. It's like $7 early access. You basically play a Metro map, which sounds stupid, but it actually works really well.
So, I walked by his room and I thought he was looking at Google Maps. And then my girl walked by and she's like, "Are you looking at Google Maps?"
So the game starts off and it's like a square, a triangle, and a circle. And then you can connect them. And basically, they're different stations, and the passengers are a different shape, and you have to get them to the shape that they want to go to.
Okay.
And it starts getting more and more complex. Like, it starts adding new stations, and you've got to connect them through. And if you don't pick the passengers up, it's a puzzle game.
100%
puzzle game. 100% a puzzle game. And it gets more and more hectic the further and further you go. And you've got to, like, balance, like, it's kind of resource management where you've got different, you have only a limited number of tracks you can run and a limited number of trains you can run. So you've got to manage all that and figure out the best way to do it. It's got a couple different modes right now. It's still, like I said, it's very early. It just came out. There's no sound right now. So it's like completely silent. It's one of those games where You only have to pay attention like every 10 or 15 seconds, so you can kind of do it while you're kind of doing something else.
But it would make a good mobile game.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking as well. It looks very clean, which is why I liked it. Like, it looks really nice, and I've been having a lot. I've been going back to it even if I didn't need to. You know, like, we play a lot of games here for this podcast. But I've been going back to it even though I've already gotten the gist of this game, just because it's a lot of fun and I'm into the puzzle style games. So I've been having a lot of fun playing this game, and I can't wait to see kind of where they take it. Right now there's like three different modes that you can do and I think 8 or 9 different levels. And it's really interesting. I don't know, it's kind of different kind of style game.
If somebody was like, "I know you don't know how to program, but I need you to program either this or Asteroids," I take this. This looks easier than Asteroids.
I don't know. Like, there's some intricacies here. Like, it's got a...
Yeah, it has blue and red.
No, but like, so you start off with just the three shapes, and it builds out these three shapes and starts building these out. And then all of a sudden it puts a star. And now you've got star guys that have to get to this one station.
What happens if you leave them? Fuck them.
Then it's over. If the guys wait too long, the game ends. That's how you lose, basically. Is,
I guess Triangle Guy isn't getting his Triangle work today.
No, Triangle Guy is doing fine because that's one of the basic three. But Star Guy or Plus Guy or Diamond Guy, he's fucked. He's done.
Fired.
Yeah.
So
conform or die. That's what I'm here.
And the shapes have to match up. Like, you have... people who are represented by shapes, and they have to go to...
And then see those little squares that are on the tracks? That's your actual car, and your car has a limited number of people that can fit on it. So it's about picking your people up, and then it's got a cool mechanic where you see the actual time going on the right and how many people you've actually successfully taken where they need to go. And every week, you'll get new things, and you can pick either... You know, you can get more tunnels, or you can get more cars, or you can get more carriages.
So is this just pure strategy, or is there any story to Mini Metro?
No. This is literally you're playing within the first 15 seconds.
Hmm.
Like, you start the game, and the tutorial is very, like, very simple, but you figure it out pretty quickly.
You know what this game needs is those Japanese guys that... work in the subway that
push
people in so you can get more. Bob, have you seen that video?
No, dude,
their subways are so crowded that they have guys that are designated pushers to force everybody into the car so that they can shut the door so they could go. It is insane.
I've heard that's only a couple stations and all, but yeah. But yeah, they've got like white gloves on, so they don't have to like touch anybody and shit.
That's crazy. So yeah, Mini Metro.
Mini Metro, $6.99. If you're into puzzle games, I definitely recommend it. It's one of those kind of like relaxing. You don't have to like think too much. You don't have to like. It's not a stressful sort of game.
It's but your new Sudoku.
Once you're like. Stations start running out of people and everything's fucked up and you're like, oh shit, then it starts getting a little stressful, but it's fun and I like it.
Is there a way to beat this game, or you just go until you
I think it's one of those like
we're talking about Mini Metro here. Mini Metro.
It's one of those Outlast games, like you try to go as long as you can
and just get a higher score.
But the different modes have a slightly different kind of mechanic on how you can last as long as possible.
I don't know why I'm thinking about this, but I just think it's funny that you have to get the circles to the circle location and the triangles to the triangle location. Like, I feel like, I know there's no story here, but I feel like the story is like, this is one of those Hunger Games or Divergent things where it's like, oh, you're from Hufflepuff House or something. You got to go with all the, you know how that shit is?
Hufflepuff House!
You get classified in a category or something.
He's like one of the 12 fucking houses. Like, that you
all I'm hearing is Bobby's a square peg in the round hole kind of guy.
Bobby's definitely a fucking star if he had to pick one
for
of the
sure. I'm not waiting for this fucker. I'm going home.
Yeah.
No, have you guys seen that? I saw the first one, but that
Divergent.
Divergent, is that terrible. The first one?
Yeah. People like that movie.
Kids love it. It's young adult sci-fi. But you know, that's the thing. It's like, oh, if you're like a risk taker or something, then you go in the red group and they're called something, but then this one girl's like, you know, oh well, I don't fit anywhere because I'm so unique and original, you know, what do I do? And they're like, oh, you're Divergent, you know. And that's kind of what I feel like. This, I mean, what if the circle doesn't want to go to the circle place? Maybe he wants to go to the square place. You can't classify people like that.
Square gets the circle, he's like, a whole new world.
Is Bobby high right now?
I don't want to conform.
That's going to be my mod for Mini Metro.
Didn't know we were going to get 2 hours out of Mini Metro. But
yeah, wow. Okay. That's spiraled.
I honestly thought that was his thing, and it was going to be Metro Last Light, but like a little spinoff. I had no idea what that was.
Mini Metro Last Light.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
Right. Should we jump into some listener questions?
Yeah.
For sure. I'll let you guys read this because it has nothing to do with me because I'm on board.
Bobby, you're the golden voice. Let's get it going.
Why do we hate zombie survival games?
I feel like that's
directed. This is fisty.
Yeah. I feel like that's directed straight at me because I hate zombie survival games. But that's... I hate the zombie genre in general. And let me explain why.
This is like a two-part question. Why do we hate zombies? Why do we hate survival games?
I like survival games.
Okay.
I just don't like the zombie aspect of it. I don't like zombies because my favorite enemies are the enemies that are smarter than me. I want my enemies making traps that I have to struggle to get through. Zombies are basically it's like an earthquake or a volcano. They're just a force of nature. Like, they don't think, they just do. And that's not something that's fun for me. It's like playing, if you could play a volcano game and you're just avoiding lava the whole time, is that fun for you? I don't know. Maybe it is.
Can't shoot lava, bro. Tried. Doesn't help. Just keeps coming.
Well, that's why I don't like zombies.
Zombies lend themselves well to survival games. I mean, that's just a natural fit. So I think that's why we see so many of them.
So do lions, though.
Lions?
Yeah. If you put it lions or tigers and bears.
Oh, my?
Yeah. In a survival game, I mean, you gotta run from them just
I think
much.
We're just sick of the survival horror, you know, like all that stuff.
You guys, I love all this shit. Like every single one that
you
comes
love
out.
Everything. There's not a single thing you have.
I love these more than regular ones. 50 was just saying it's his favorite type of game, and why do we shit on it all the time?
What is his favorite game?
Specifically, Bobby won't even talk about it. Is what he said.
No, I think he's specifically referencing DayZ.
The tree cut down mechanic?
I don't know if you can
and
cut
Seven Ways to Die, probably.
Oh, yeah, maybe that one, too. Yeah, you know what? Those zombies in general, I just think are a little played out. I mean, when were those hitting their peak? Like, maybe 2006, 2007?
Yeah, hold on.
How popular is pizza? And that's still good.
Like, okay, well, pizza is
delicious.
Why does
how much people are playing it or talking about it lessen how good it is? It's still good.
Yeah, but
we gotta be careful with these analogies, man, because they just don't. I mean, you're gonna compare zombies to pizza?
Yeah, totally. Your first bite of zombie is good.
Yeah. And then it starts getting rancid.
I don't get it.
I think anything in pop culture, any sort of entertainment, it wears on you after
a
while.
We hit a saturation point on why doesn't
pizza?
Like, look at all these DayZ.
Okay, because people have to eat.
Rust.
That's completely different.
No, it's not. We still play games. Zombies are fun.
Let's not spend forever trying to make this analogy work.
I think it's a valid argument.
Well, you just like zombies. You've always liked zombies.
No. I don't know why, how much attention that goes into something or how saturated it is affects how good the thing is. If it was originally good, it'll be good at any point in its development.
Well, what we're saying is the first bite of everything is the best. After that, there's a diminishing scale. That's just a fact of nature. It's a law. Yes, I'm probably. But after the first bite, I'll enjoy it less and less. But what we're saying is we played zombie survival games for a while. We played them, like, it seemed like every week we were reviewing a new one. And we just kind of got over the whole thing. And I'm sure a couple months from now, we'll pick one up and have a good time. I wouldn't mind playing Rust again. I had a blast when we were playing Rust.
I love Rust.
Well, my problem with survival games is just a lot of early access bullshit, just being stuck in development and just getting used to bugs, stuff like that. I don't know. Maybe one of these days one will come out and I'm just going to be all crazy about it. I haven't even played Hizzy yet. That's what I call H1Z1.
I was like, what the fuck is that?
I can't look at that without calling it Hizzy.
We were both looking at you like, what the fuck is he talking about?
He just went ghetto on us. I don't know.
H1Z1. It looks like Hizzy to me. I don't know why. But, and then zombies, yeah. I loved Left 4 Dead. I remember when I first saw Left 4 Dead 1, like gameplay footage, I told everybody I knew about that game. I played so much of that game. Left 4 Dead 2, played so much of it. And that's not necessarily a zombie survival game, but it is a zombie game. So I think zombies as a theme, yeah, it'll wear on you. Anything will after a while.
And we're stuck as gamers. I feel we're stuck with the villain archetypes that have already been given to us. Like Nazis are out right now, so zombies are in right now. And you know, a couple of years from now, maybe the Nazis are back. Like, you need it something that has a ton of dudes that you can just mow down, and there's just not that many of them. So zombies come up frequently. It's just a fact of nature, right?
Yeah, like, they're an easy enemy.
Yeah, exactly.
There's moral clarity.
I'm sure a few years from now, maybe ISIS will be fucking the enemy that you mow down. Or like, it's
I think
just,
they're
like,
the perfect bad guy. They're the perfect way. There's no, like he said, there's no moral implications. They have this thing where, like, if they bite one of you, there's more moral implications. There's usually hordes of them. I don't know. I like the dumb bad guy. And then what are you going to do about so many of them? They're going to win with numbers, not with intelligence.
Well, that worked with Left 4 Dead. I mean, you just had wave after wave, and it was fun to mow them all down. You can go the other direction of that and just have, like, one big powerful enemy and spend forever trying to beat him, like a boss fight or maybe a raid in World of Warcraft or something. And, you know, both ways work. It's all a matter of preference. But just for me, it's just like I'm burnt out on zombies and then survival games. I don't know. There's good ones. I don't want to say there aren't, but maybe it's just not my deal. I don't know.
I wish there was a number somewhere, Bob, where we could see how many zombies you killed in Left 4 Dead series.
Maybe.
It would be crazy, right?
You know what I did find, though? That reminds me. I found this website called Steam Charts, and it shows how many people have played, and it has a graph, you know, months, days, whatever. It goes back to 2012, which is unfortunate, because I wanted to check and see how many people stopped playing Left 4 Dead 1 for Left 4 Dead 2, but that was back in 08 or 09. I saw it because someone was talking about in a Steam review how many people are playing Evolve right now. That game, when it came out, 27,000 people playing that game first couple of days.
Wait, how could they? Oh, just on Steam.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, this is just on Steam. Okay. Yeah, the website steamcharts.com.net. Right, right. I don't know, Google it.
Not very many.
Yeah, well, 27,000, guess what it's at now?
What?
Like 10?
3,000.
Wow.
Yeah, around 3,000 people playing Evolve right now.
Wow. And I still see a couple of headlines here and there, but not really. Like, because they just came out with a new guy, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they still have DLC or extra content that they haven't even released yet that people have already paid for, but
They got to go to free-to-play now. I mean, that's the last-ditch effort to try to make
something. Well, I think they'll drastically reduce the price on it.
Yeah.
I would totally pick it up for like $10 or something. Yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
I would
do that
today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What else we got? We got some more listener questions?
Mm-hmm. Games we're looking forward to.
Yeah, for me right now, Grand Theft Auto 5, it's like they keep pushing it. It's like you almost get there and then they take it away. And so it should be within the next 3 weeks here.
Yeah.
Really looking forward to that. Looking forward to the mods that people are going to be making for it. Also, I believe it was Fisty asking me also if we're going to play the online portion of it. I've never played online GTA, so I'll get into it eventually, but I really just want to play through the story and just all the craziness that happens in there. I mean, it has Bigfoot and aliens and peyote and fuck, it sounds awesome.
I might pick this one up, and I have a feeling that I would really get into this because the only GTA I've played is Vice City, and they've come a long way since that.
I'm kind of the same way as you. Like, I've only played Vice City, but it's kind of scary to, like, it's intimidating, GTA 5. Like, just the scope and depth of the game. Like,
yeah, there's so much to do.
Yeah.
Well, at the end of the day, you could just walk out your door and just start fucking shit up and die, right? I mean, there's always that option.
That's what I do in the real world, too.
Boom. Every day. Fucking Chad walks in, explosion, he doesn't turn back. Yeah. Hair waves. It's crazy. Crazy.
I just ran over a hooker before we started this podcast right now.
got your money back.
Money back, god damn it. Actually, as far as games I'm looking forward to, like I don't see very far ahead in the whole
PC. You also don't look.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, but you don't look probably because you don't see.
Yeah, like, sometimes I'm surprised that when stuff come out and I'm like, oh wow, this
is out. How I am with movies. Yeah. I was saying last week, I think. I don't know one thing in the theater right now.
I have Witcher 3 that's on pre-order, so...
Witcher 3, definitely.
When Witcher 3 comes out, so I'll definitely be playing that.
New Blood. Bobby, when's that come out? It's dropped this week, right?
I think you mean the Old Blood.
Old Blood, sorry. Yeah.
What?
Well, because it's new.
What is this?
Wolfenstein the Old Blood. It's a standalone... I don't think it's an expansion. It's actually a prequel. It looks a lot like Return to Castle Wolfenstein, but it's, you know, with the new id Tech engine, and it looks a lot more like Wolfenstein: The New Order. But Wolfenstein: The Old Blood is coming out May 23rd, I believe. $20 standalone. It's probably going to be like maybe a third of the size of the original game, and it's going to be set not in the future where the Nazis rule the world. It's going to actually be set before the war. I think.
Who are you? Are you still BJ?
I think so. Yeah, I'd have to look at it again, but I think it kind of is in the same timeline as Return to Castle Wolfenstein.
You already read that it's 1/3 size?
No, I'm not sure on that. I'm just assuming. They're charging $20. It's a standalone expansion. It's probably going to be like one of those Far Cry Blood Dragon deals. So I'm looking forward to that because I really enjoyed the New Order, and I think it'll be good.
What are you looking forward to besides that, Bob?
I don't know.
Heroes of the Storm. Actual release.
Yeah, you guys got to grab that. It was like 35 cents today on G2A. I don't know if there's anything...
You should have just sent me a code at that point.
Yeah.
Seriously, Bobby. It's in your best interest to spend the 35 cents to get him a code.
Because you know I'm going to go in there and own everything.
Yeah. Top down, point and click. I'm sure you'd do really well.
How do I go left?
Yeah.
Where are you guys?
He's trying to do WASD controls, and he has no idea what the fuck's going on.
So I got this buddy at work. He comes up to me, and he's like, dude, I bought a PC. And because he comes up, he listens to the podcast, and he goes,
thanks for listening, by the way. What's your buddy's name?
Jake. So he goes up to me. I had to just come up with a name because this whole story is made up. No, I'm kidding. So Jake comes up to me, and he's like, I bought a PC because... Fallout 3, he is a gamer that happens to play a couple games on PC. His favorite game of all time is Fallout 3.
Okay.
His little laptop wouldn't run Skyrim. So I was like, dude, why don't you play Skyrim?
Why do you have to say little? It's a regular size laptop.
Little in power.
Okay.
Kind of, yeah. So he goes, you know, I bought this thing and it's awesome. And I was like, oh, where'd you get it from? And he goes, next door, which is Best Buy, right?
Okay.
I was like, config, recommend that. It's like, what's it got? He's got lights. Okay. That's what he said. His first answer is lights. Red lights is what he said. And I was like, what? He goes, it's shaped like an X. He goes like this. He's like, it's awesome. He's okay. Like, it's got all these lights. He's like, but I'm having issues. I was like, okay. Obviously. Well, first of all, it's shaped like an X. But he goes, you know, his onboard graphics were competing or
not conflicting.
Conflicting, thank you. With his graphics card, mm-hmm. which was like, I mean, he paid like $850 for this, and it came with like a GTX 6 something, like an older card.
Okay. Something and I'm running right now, probably.
Yeah, yeah. And I was like, yeah, man. I was like, you shouldn't have got that. Why didn't you come talk to me first, like, for what you bought? He's like, but it's got lights. He's like, you're making me feel bad for what I bought. And I was like, well, you bought, that's probably the worst place to buy something. So he's like, okay.
A shiny piece of shit.
Yes, he got distracted by lights. He goes, I'm going to go in there, and I'm going to be a consumer, and I'm going to be a smart buyer. And ooh, light, shiny. Here's my money. Here's my shinies. Right? So, God, he's going to hate me after this.
Yes. Yes, he
is. It's okay. It's sacrificing one listener for maybe three more. So I was like, I'll find... Oh, no. And then later on, he's like, yeah, it took a shit on me. It's dead. It broke. But he bought the warranty. He paid for extra for the warranty.
Nice.
And he just took it back and got all his money back. And he's like, okay, what would you recommend? I was like, oh, shit. Now I'm on the spot because I said, oh, you're dumb. I'm smart, right? So
so you immediately turn to Bobby.
I turn to Bobby. And obviously, Bobby says, build your own. But this, he doesn't want to build his own. He doesn't have the time or the knowledge to do it. If you have money and you know how to do it, even if you don't know how to do it, Bobby, would you say if you don't know how to do it, is it easy enough that you could go step by step and do it yourself?
Building a computer?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I did it for the first time with Bobby
and most
there.
Most people that play PC games know a buddy that's good enough to do that. Buy him some pizza or a six-pack and have him fucking put the shit together for you.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, unless you're doing anything really crazy like water cooling or some sort of custom deal, then, yeah, putting together a basic rig is fairly simple.
And if you're buying the parts, is Newegg still the spot to go?
Yeah, Newegg is great. I go to Amazon a lot more these days, though.
Really?
Okay. Oh, yeah.
And it's funny because you trust the reviews on Newegg more and then buy the components on Amazon, right?
Yeah. Newegg has a great review system.
Yeah. So, poor thing for Newegg, but whatever. Maybe you should support who you like, Bobby.
Seriously.
Jesus Christ.
I still buy parts off of Newegg occasionally. I have given them plenty of money throughout the years, trust me.
So anyway, he wants a pre-built one. So I'm like, okay, there's so many options. There's iBuyPower, there's like Dell, there's this.
Don't
and
do
that.
iBuyPower. They fucking suck.
Yeah, they it's funny because my old roommate, Greg, he bought a... He goes, oh, I found this one. Because he wanted to start PC gaming, because I was, right? He goes, I found this one. I was like, no, never buy Dell. Never buy Dell because it comes with all this preloaded shit. You don't want that. Get a gaming one. So he goes to iBuyPower. He gets one. It breaks. It had all these issues. And then what do I buy next? A Dell. I bought the 8700, which is what I'm going to recommend right now. If you're not going to put a bunch of money in, you want to spend... This came out to... so it says $799, but you can find $200 in coupons. And so I worked it out, and it came out to $649. And what you're getting for this is... Bobby, do you have it up somewhere? You're getting 1 terabyte hard drive. You're getting an i5 chipset.
It's just the box, though, right? There's no monitor.
There's no keyboard.
There's
no monitor, correct.
There's no mouse.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got a 1 terabyte hard drive. It can come with Windows 7 Pro or Windows 8, 8 gigs of memory, Intel i5, Core i5 processor, 3.4 gigahertz.
Yeah, so you're going to be walking out the door for about $720, maybe, with tax and all that. And
8 gigs of RAM.
Yeah, you're getting, GTX 720. It's legit. And it's a nice place to start. With this, you'll be able to play anything at low settings, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we should mention it's got a GT 720 video card, NVIDIA GT 720, which you could definitely upgrade from there, but they usually give you, I think we looked it up, and the power supply on this was like 460 watts, and you got to have a fairly big power supply if you get a bigger card, but you could throw a 960 in there and get great performance and not use up too much power.
Basically, this 650 about is probably better than the rig that I'm running right now.
Oh, well, dude, we were talking about it last week. You're on a stone tablet over there.
Yeah. So, if you want to beat me, spend your 650 bucks. Yeah. So, is he actually going to get this?
Yeah, he was on, like, I sent him the link and he's online right now. He's actually buying that as we're recording, probably.
Cool.
Yeah. Awesome. But it's not shaped in as an X and it doesn't have a bunch of lights.
Well, maybe he can keep the case from the other one and. Maybe. No, I don't know.
Man, if this one breaks and you're really going to be in the hot seat.
Yeah.
I know.
It's got all this fucking.
I'm sure he's going to get it.
But, you know, like you said, a lot of these things come with bloatware, and you want to remove that stuff immediately. Like, you just go to Control Panel, add remove programs or program features or whatever they call it in Windows 8, and you just start removing all that Norton 360 30-day trial crap. You know, just get rid of all that shit.
Because that's how Dell makes their money. They can bring the prices down for two reasons. You're buying so many numbers of these things, and second of all, they're doing bloatware. And so if you cut out that part, you can get a pretty good deal on some, because they're going to get cheaper prices than even you can get, because they're buying so many.
Yep.
Yeah. It's like why you can get an orange cheaper at a grocery store than you can if you just go up to the orchard or whatever, because they're buying a million of them at a time.
The Mexicans telling me how to buy oranges. Okay.
Okay.
All right, let's get into some news.
Yeah, I got one piece of news here. Celebrity Millionaires of Competitive Gaming. Was this a Vice article?
It was. How'd you know?
I heard it mentioned earlier.
Wow.
I listened.
It's the first time.
Oh, so I actually walked in while he was watching this. He loves Vice, by the way. I'm sure Bobby, you know, already know this. Vice is a American online news program, but they kind of do stuff outside the box. They're not like tied into all the American news shit that goes on. So they kind of go in. They're the ones that went into North Korea. They kind of hit some of the harder hitting stuff and give you some good looks into like areas that you don't normally get in news, at least in the Americans.
For sure. And that said, they usually do a really good job. Unfortunately, the host of this was not very good. Again, it's Celebrity Millionaires in Competitive Gaming. I was like, I'm going to push. I already know all these facts. So I'm just going to watch this in like 10 minutes. And then I ended up watching the whole hour. And it's because they front-loaded a bunch of information that I didn't know, that I was glad to hear. And I'll hit you with some of it now. And you won't have to watch it after this. I think I'm pretty much going to hit. So anyway, LoL has 67 million players.
Already know that it's super easy to make a LoL account.
Yeah. But still, you're still talking, worst case scenario, 40 million, probably? Yeah. And that's more people that live in France. Like, they can form their own country and take some shit over if they wanted to. Or there'd be a bunch of skinny teenagers with acne.
Fat teenagers.
Yeah. So, half the teenagers in South Korea are addicted to the internet. Their number one thing that's going on there by far is internet. It's just like internet games. There's these gaming cafes like you would have here, but there they're just tricked out for gaming, and you just go there and you spend all day there. It's like low light, no windows, food's right there, bathroom's right there. You're good for all day.
And so it never really caught on out here, though. You never see any more gaming cafes, LAN cafes.
So there's a few reasons.
People don't want to drive anywhere to like fucking do this. And
well, you can do it at home. I think maybe how much money people are making per capita here. You can buy your own PC there. You probably have to.
It could just be like a cultural thing. Like it's just more acceptable to do it out there.
Yeah, there was a whole segment about like these guys and girls, mostly girls, that they drank a little bit, they pre-partied, and then they went to the gaming cafe and played LOL together.
And, kind of a cool idea.
Yeah, and the guy was like, and the guy, well, yeah, obviously, if there's girls...
I'm just saying.
So, anyway, it's a big problem. Or they see it as a big problem, the South Korean government. So, the Cinderella Act was passed, which cuts off anybody under 16 playing after midnight. And it's just like, that's against the law, don't do it anymore. No. To get online, you need to use their version of a social security number. And so it just gets cut off after midnight. So then there was a huge uproar about this from the gaming community. And there's now, of course, a representative that they have in Congress, their Congress, that's the gamer. They have the gamer party now because it's so huge over there. Mm. Yeah, it's... I mean, it's worth watching because they also get into the cosplay, how big the cosplay over there is. The cosplay is every bit as big, it seems like, as the actual gaming. There's cosplay houses and they all compete. I'm only mentioning all this because I honestly do believe that all of this is going to spread out. I think Asians are future people.
You think the South Korea is the beginnings, the epicenter of the rest?
Like I said, Asians are future people.
Okay.
They're just better.
They're better.
They're compact. Yeah, we don't need to pick up heavy shit anymore. They're compact. They got everything going. So whatever they're doing is how things are going to go.
Okay. Right?
So it's just going to spread out and it's going to... And so, like, I brought it up last week how is it going to be bigger than... I think it already is, just like Barracuda
That's
was
what
saying.
Barracuda said, yeah.
Yeah. If you think about how many people...
I disagree, though. Like, I respectfully disagree with what Barracuda was saying. Because we're talking about world numbers compared to regional numbers.
Right.
You're talking League of Legends is a world event.
Right. Yeah.
Versus the NBA Finals, which is only in America. Right. So yes, the League of Legends Finals had more viewers than the NBA Finals. But it's apples to oranges in my case.
We're talking about the world here. But I'm talking about the world. When I'm talking about bigger than.
But there's no sport. There's no sport that's world.
Oh, soccer?
Yeah, and soccer crushes League of Legends.
Yeah,
so what I'm saying is any worldwide sport is going to crush...
But there's only one, though.
...esports.
There's only one
no.
physical sport that still crushes.
Do we watch cricket?
No.
Okay, the cricket worlds crushes League of Legends. Like, crushes esports. And we don't participate.
So.
You don't think so? It's number two behind... Well, number
soccer.
Three behind the Olympics, but number two on
you
the singular
this up recent?
Yeah.
Sounds like
it's ridiculous.
I know we were coming to debate with ammo, dude. Let me know next time. I'll get prepared.
I'm just saying, we're still a couple steps away from being bigger than sports. So
would you say it's inevitable?
Slow our roll. I don't know. Like,
I don't know. If you're thinking of, if you're comparing this on a global scale, yeah, sure. But America does a pretty good job of ignoring world trends.
That's true.
But what I'm saying is, until we as a nation say that esports is a legitimate sport, like I think we still got a long ways to go.
Well, it's a generational thing.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, for sure.
In 15 years, 10, 15 years, you might
when
see
our
a change.
Parents finally fucking retire and die, then we'll
That's
talk about it.
That's what every generation's ever thought. It's like everybody's like, well, as soon as those old people die, everything is going to change, but it doesn't really work that way, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So they're so concerned over there that internet addiction was raised to the level of alcohol or drugs. So there's treatment centers.
I would believe that. 100%. I believe that here in this... I believe that Facebook addicts exist right now.
I'm addicted to my phone.
They say that the brain reactions on Facebook are the same reactions that you get from snorting cocaine.
Oh, yeah.
The endorphins, the dopamines.
That sounds like another Vice article.
But I agree 100% with that.
And here's my last thing that I have to say about this. They went to a European one. They went tournament. They went to the... I thought it was very funny that there's no Europeans at the Worlds. It's all Asians. Because they dedicate way more. First of all, they're future people. And second of all, they dedicate the time. They have gaming houses where they just, we know about this. They sleep all together as a team. They eat together as a team. They play together as a team until they're world champions. And for each team like that that you hear about, there's probably, who knows how many that
hundreds,
don't make it.
Probably.
Yeah, yeah. And so there's, oh, and then it's funny because they don't consider, at least the neurologists they talked about, they don't consider the tournament players addicted to internet. It's like, it's kind of like their job, and there's part of a, it's part of a goal-oriented thing that you have in your mind, as opposed to a fix, getting your fix. You gotta get up and play. Hmm. No, but I wanted to bring up this thing. Of course, I'm a futurist, and I'm always thinking 100 years ahead. And Chad doesn't think anything's ever gonna happen, and it's gonna be, it's fucking gasoline till the end, or whatever the fuck he thinks. Anyway, so, the girls, man. These guys, okay, there's not a lot of them, but there's good-looking girls, and they got groupies. And it's not just the Asian markets, it's the European markets, and they got, they come, and they're showing up. So, these guys are getting action, right?
Okay.
I just think it's really cool that finally, in some shape or form, maybe the smart guys are going to be getting the tail instead of the big jock guys.
But we already called them mental athletes. So it, at the end of the day, it's still the athletes getting the girls.
Right. Good, good, yeah. Good. That's what I want. But I want geniuses now.
But it's still the same thing. It's still the athletes still getting the girls. It's not like...
Yeah, yeah. It's I'm not saying that I'm going to get more girls because I play games. That's not what I'm saying.
Okay.
I'm saying if I wanted a big... Okay, if I'm looking at human culture as a whole, if I want the biggest, strongest guys having the most babies, or the smartest, quickest learning guys having the most babies, it's the quickest guys.
Okay.
Bobby. What if they have a peanut allergy? Does that change your decision?
Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah, because somebody's going to come up with a pill to...
All right, I'm just throwing curveballs here, man. I had no agenda with that question. Yeah. That sounds cool.
Good for that guy. There's no guy, Bobby. There's no guy.
There was a guy. Actually, I told you, I might have brought this up already. So if you've listened to every podcast, I apologize. I worked PAX 1 year, and this kind of very nerdy guy walked into the booth with a really attractive woman. I was like, wow, this is off a little bit. Like, and so I was talking to him, and he was like at PAX because he was because he was on Team Solo Mid. He's one of the guys on Team Solo Mid. Yeah. I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. But in my mind, it makes sense because, oh, okay, he's a star.
Right.
He's at the show at PAX, and he's a star. So of course he should be getting the good looking girls. Like it doesn't make.
One thing that makes people attractive is if they're really good at one thing or a few things or whatever. But if you're excellent at anything, it's an attractive thing. And if you're one of the best in the world at something, that, you know.
Yeah.
So I just think that it's nice that finally the nerds are going to get their cut. The top nerds.
We're getting there. It's getting there.
Delightful.
I think Bobby is high. Like, this is like,
I don't know what's going on. I can't even wake that
guy
up.
No, dude, I feel like I'm in a sweat box right now.
No, it's really hot right now.
It is so hot, it feels like
summer. Well, Mill's not wearing a shirt, so that might be the reason.
Well, what's new?
Brown chicken, brown cow.
Let's wrap this up.
Well, do you want to talk about what we're playing next week?
Next week, I will be playing more Heroes of the Storm, so hit me up on battle.net. My battle tag is digi#1413. I don't know why they do it like that.
You could have bought me that for 35 cents today.
He will. He'll buy this right now. We're going to play tonight.
Yeah, it might have been 0.35 euros. I don't know. But, yeah.
Yeah, which is about the same thing, right?
No, it's about 90
cents. You know what? The euro dropped. Yeah, it's very close to the dollar right now.
Yeah, so we're talking about 35 cents.
Yeah, dude. So, yeah, Heroes of the Storm, and I don't know what the hell I'm going to get into this week. I don't know.
What do I want to get into?
I say every week Darkest Dungeon, but I never end up playing it. I want to play it so bad. But,
the same way.
New shit just keeps coming up. So, and hopefully GTA, but I probably...
When does GTA officially come out?
I'd have to look it up, but I don't think it's still the beginning of next month.
What am I playing? Maybe some Ori, if you'll give me your controller.
Access, yeah.
I have no idea what I'm going to play.
You know, there is one game.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
There's one game that I'm really interested in, but I don't want to grab it just yet because I know for certain that it's going to be on sale for like $3 at some point. It's in early access. It's called Shell Shock Live, I think. Name sounds incredibly dumb.
Wow,
that sounds
horrible.
Yeah, it sounds terrible. But this game looks like a recreation of this old game I used to play back in the early 90s called Tank Wars. It's like a really simplistic version of Worms. I don't know, I used to play the hell out of this game, Tank Wars, but Shell Shock Live looks like some sort of...
Is it like 2D where you shoot it across each other?
Yeah, exactly.
And it's got deformation and shit.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, exactly.
And you're trying to knock
Tower of Guns sounds like that's what it is, but is that what that is?
I thought Tower of Guns was like a... What's the first person one that... maybe I'm thinking of something.
More questions than answers.
No, Tower of Guns is that same kind of gameplay where, you shoot a cannonball at someone, it blows up some land, they can fall down the slope. Towers of Guns, no. I played a lot of Worms back in the day, though. But Worms, you can move your characters around. Tank Wars, you just sit in one place, and you unlock, like, different kinds of arms, like the nuke, which makes a huge explosion, or something that's like acid rain that crumbles things. And yeah, I mean, if I went back and played it now, it wouldn't hold up, but it was a lot of fun 20 years ago.
It's kind of amazing that I haven't bought Towers of Guns, because think about this, dude. When I was a kid, I used to scribble on one side of a page, and then scribble on another side of the page, and those were two towers, and then I would draw a gun anywhere that it looked like a tower, a gun would go, on the scribble that I did randomly, and then I would have the two towers fight, and then somebody makes a game, and then I haven't bought it. It's amazing.
Wow. They stole your idea.
I know.
All right. Well, if you would like to check out more of the podcast, check out dlgaming.net. You can find links to our Steam account, to our Twitter account, YouTube, all that on that website. Thank you, as always, for listening. If you like the show, do us a huge favor. Tell somebody else or leave us a review or rating on iTunes. That helps us out a lot.
Definitely.
Yeah. Look at your Steam friends. Anybody that you're like, oh, he might enjoy this, or maybe I don't. Just click one and be like, hey, dude. There's this thing. Check it out.
These guys don't suck all the time. Check this out.
Only about 30% of the time do they suck.
Only when Chad's not there do they suck. So check it out when I'm there.
And officially, this week, if you become a professional gamer and you're one of the best in the world, you might get some titties.